Chapter 19, After the Break. You will notice that the date that this chapter was completed is about 2 months since the last. It seems a bit like writer's block, but there were some real practical problems that needed resolve. My old Gigabyte 750 succumbed to viral infection, and I lost about 3 partial chapters, so I wound up moving to my alternative station, which is new but unfamiliar as a typing platform. This all originally began as a vehicle for the laws of reality and soon turned into a wild diatribe of opinion based on conspiracy theory videos that eventually proved themselves to be unreliable, simply because there was always at least 2 sides to every story. So the direction of the book was lost, and the purpose seemed to be getting more and more dangerous every day. One cannot stand up in the world wide web and yell out loud, "No more nukes," and not have at least some mild concern that something bad might come of it. The average American might have some trepidation about the validity of agencies like the CIA or the FBI, but would really have second thoughts about setting up a website and broadcast his or her displeasure to the world. This is no small matter, but comfort can be taken in the fact that there are a multitude of like-minded persons on the web broadcasting day and night for all the world to hear. Websites dedicated to change, such as INTS, digital newspapers from all over the world, blogs from every disgruntled computer owner, and even mainstream slip-ups, all go to bolster the underground movement that is 9/11, but then I digress. During the break, there was a plethora of information gathered and turned into HTML for safekeeping, mostly news stories, but there was also a great number of videos consumed, and not all were of the conspiracy variety. There is a critical time occurring in history at this point, and some equate it to the advent of 2012. And there seems to be a connection if you consider the main features of today. We are globally communicating as a world population, and there is no authority that is monitoring our conversations to the point that they can be controlled. You may argue that point if you wish, but it's just plain impossible to secretly control the world population conversing via web, telephone, and in person. This is no moot point to a group that has as its agenda specific control of information, and there are plenty of them in this system. The main problem that they are having is lack of consensus, not the inability to apply the control. Controls on the web are applied all over the place and thwarted just as quickly, and even in the event of a pure consensus of all interested parties, applying full censorship to communication would, at the very least, be noticeable by the public. This single point is what is leading us up to such a cataclysmic change in or around 2012. We are about to find out what we are as humans, and at the same time, we will be examining our motives and methods of our planetary stewardship, and it can be seen happening in the very way we talk to each other. Imagine that. Obviously, the highest purpose that could be aspired for this time of history and the events of today would be to help to facilitate this transition of humanity from one of monetary dependence or enslavement to a higher calling of the human spirit and body, in that there is a full circle of intent for the value of the words spoken here. Several other points will be mentioned too about the so-called break. For some unknown reason, the chapters were dated when completed, and that has turned out to be a blessing in the way of being a virtual writer block solution. because I was able to see exactly what was happening in a real time frame, and it didn't become an enigma as to when and why I suddenly quit writing. Likely the news items that were found during that period were dated, and so it seems to me that my work was continuing even though I had broken down completely. I have not written a word on this part of the project for 2 months, and so there must be some very strong reasons that I intend to delve in, and I intend to delve into them here. First of all, there is the problem of finding a publisher, and the added inconvenience of having to do revisions, inclusions, and deletions at his whim or whim of unseen others whom he works for. This problem has probably stopped many a would-be author cold or caused him to quit permanently, and I was also concerned about the book signings that I did not want to attend, nor the problem of being robbed blind by the savvy publisher for all my rights. Two things come to mind. One, that a book of today must be digital first, and that is easy to do if you have a website or two. That a book needs to be out there regardless of monetary arrangements, especially one that describes moderation in thought and act and applies it to now. Many of my projects do not get finished completely and fail for that very reason. And my reputation is such that it is very common, but truth be known, some do get done, and HTML is on my always up-to-date and pertinent list as done. And that's not going to change anytime soon. I'm on the web, and it fits my schedule, and the projects that are digital get concluded, so it's time a book or two hit the bits. And if all that INTS is made of in terms of copy is turned into chapters, there is plenty already available for the first one. The decision has been made that O1 Digital Press will handle the web delivery of this book and probably several others to the public, free of charge to allow full circulation. O1 is a takeoff from my last name, Owen, and the term self-published would better apply. The actual book is just a collection of chapters that were written in the order they appear to show some development of the thought process and makes it a more difficult read that has some interesting underlying themes to it if studied. But that is a lot to hope for as a first-time author. I have written the equivalent of several books and partially, completed 2 of them, but this will be the first ever completed. All of the chapters will be included in the INTS curriculum and also available that way. This is a big step for me because I just hate it when I log on to a digital book I want to read and they want $12.95 for it. That sort of thinking is out the window because the information itself is well above such pecuniary matters and in fact purports to be the antithesis to monetarism. Pardon me. You will notice that I'm thinking out loud, using the forbidden I, me, my pronouns, and turning this into a psych up the writer chapter, which would probably be forbidden by any other publisher. I don't care about that anymore. This book has become mine, and I will write anything that I want from here on in. And if you have problems with this attitude, then just think of this as a learning experience and also a clue as to what you can expect. No one really sets out to pour their entire being into a written work, but that's pretty well how it comes out in the first attempt. Hopefully, the merchandising will help to offset the loss of book sales revenue. Relying on donations does not even seem like an option, but sales from the linked Rufus and Ensor sites of Laws of Reality tablets and the Rufus pipes and porcelain figures might become possible when hits are increased to sales-producing level. To advertise the book, there has been An unusual but topical proposal will likely see the light of day. All written works by Namron Sor are presently recorded in voice wave files, and also MP3 files, and linked to the articles so they can be listened to while one is relaxing or doing dishes. And these will be attached to MPEGs or AVI video files and made available through Google Vids and YouTube. When someone clicks on a chapter video on the web, there will be a link back to the site and the opportunity to download the book. The videos become the magnet to read the book, which in turn takes you to other chapters, the whole volume, and eventually the low-key merchandising that is employed. So if it works, even I will be surprised. I can see no other solution. It was also thought that computer printed copies could be run off using commercial copy machines, bound and covered as necessary to cover the call for hard copies should that need arise. Discs could also be available containing the entire NSOR, INTS, and most of the commemorative galleries of realrufus.com, either with or without a hard copy of the book Omen Owen, A Modern Way, which it is proposed this be called. Now, we will examine the difficult question of why this book is needed and what unique things, if any, it offers. The need is caused by the polarization of information that is found everywhere in the world today. Newspapers and other media are referred to as media whores, as they are disallowed from actual news reporting, as mentioned previously, simply because they cannot ignore the compromises required by their advertisers and the political forces they promote. The other extreme is composed of conspiracy theorists that don't know when to quit indicting, and many times fall in the trap of citing accepted truths about aliens and other dimensions that are completely unfounded. A Moderate Way is about accepting what we are and trying to make the best of it, and the accuracy of the information contained cannot be guaranteed, but is nevertheless sought. The book announces to the world that there are unbiased places on the web run by those that have altruistic values and seek only truth, unification of all mankind, end of war, and universal caring for all. These are high ideals, but they are there to contrast baser instincts that are caused by money and power, and these high ideals are very universal, even more so than you might think. Look around you and see how many wonderful people you know, and think about the government programs that are designed by us to alleviate poverty and hunger and protect women and children. There is good in this world, and we simply have to make it a bit more universal. As far as uniqueness is concerned, the author, that's me, has been described as suffering from terminal uniqueness, but his views have been disallowed from the mainstream academic society, and I speak of myself in the third person simply because there is no, pardon me, and I speak of myself in the third person simply because there is no avenue for expression when one does not belong to any of these societies, those being the academic societies. Figmentalism isn't based on any theory presently available, although it largely resembles the foundation of much religious belief and much philosophy as well, but has its own perspective that the entire world is adopting through this awakening. It is prophetic that it states that all will eventually understand the simple truths of reality, and the dark ages of materialism, capitalism, and making war will end, probably sometime around 2012. All of the information that humans can know is contained in this one work. And beyond this plain truth lies only speculation. We are rewriting our own world history on the web. Yesterday, JFK was killed by Lee Harvey Oswald, who was in turn killed by Jack Ruby, and every school teaches these facts, but gradually they are being challenged all over. Pearl Harbor was caused by a Japanese attack called, till now, a surprise attack, but tomorrow's history books will say differently. The first two atomic bombs were recorded in history books as deployed to save lives, but nothing could be further from the truth. These ugly things will have a new explanation as our world history undergoes vast changes. We now begin to remember things differently. Memory, as the first chapter of this book reveals, is an illusion, so our history will continually alter as we learn new facts about old events. I didn't plan it this way, but this chapter is dated 9/11, and rightly so. It commemorates my confrontation with fear, and also what I believe is duty, to help others reveal the travesty of this date, and all the ramifications that have gone before and must now be halted. Namron Sor.